Hey guys, welcome back to the Team Titan podcast. Today we have the OG influencer Xia Xie with us today.
Woof! Welcome. Hi.
Hi, how have you been? How has Circuit Breaker been treating you?
Cooped up at home, I guess, doing a lot of cleaning up in the house and tidying my house, being a Singapore's top Marie Kondo.
So today we're going to be talking about influencers, influencer Glassdoor, and more influencer drama that has came up over the past week and
I think people are very bored.
Yeah. A lot has been happening.
Right.
It's hard for me to even keep up. Right.
Yeah. Every day there's new influencer drama.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
People need to find different ways to entertain themselves these times, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think I would consider you as the OG influencer in Singapore, for sure. You know, the big sister.
I guess, yeah.
602,000 followers on Instagram and almost 250,000 on YouTube. I mean, that is huge.
That is
definitely big. Like one of the biggest in Singapore.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about influencers. How would you define an influencer?
It's a bit hard to define, but I guess somebody who kind of makes a living out of like posting stuff.
Yeah. Well, I have a definition here. An influencer is someone with the power to affect the purchasing decisions of others because of his or her authority, knowledge, position, or relationship with his or her audience.
Oh, okay.
So that's a more legit,
credible term. It sounds much better.
Yeah. And it is important to note that these individuals are not merely marketing tools, but rather social relationship assets which brands can collaborate to achieve their marketing objectives. This is from Influencer Marketing Hub. It does make us sound a little bit more credible, right?
Yeah.
Not just people who post photos of their butt on Instagram.
Right. So I think that like people find the term influencer just very turn-off-ish because there is an element of boosting like about it, like it sounds like you're praising yourself being very influential when you say that I am an influencer. And because there's no proper sort of definition of who can actually be counted as an influencer, it seems like if you call yourself one, it's very like unabashed.
Nowadays it's almost as close as a taboo.
But somehow like YouTuber just sounds so much better than influencer, I feel.
Well now it does, but honestly, like 6-7 years ago when I first started, when I said you're a YouTuber, like what? YouTuber? So you what, make videos? You know, it's very condescending. There's a very condescending.
Yeah, it's very condescending. Yeah. But influencer is not just condescending. It has a element of you are very like shallow, you're very self-important to it.
Right.
Whereas YouTuber doesn't really sound like that. Because as a YouTuber, you might not even post your face, right? Mm-hmm. Like those gaming commentary ones, they don't even show their face.
Yeah.
So there's no element of very vain or like whatever.
YouTube has evolved so much now.
Yes.
Well, where influencer just leaves a bad taste in the mouth for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in Singapore. I mean, I keep hearing that influenza thingy. So
it's getting pretty lame, that pun, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's become a boomer thing, the influenza.
I feel that, like, you know, people, they think that influencer is something that's an occupation that doesn't deserve any respect because there is no natural talent to what you're doing. Like, versus if you are an artist or like an entertainer, if you are an actress, you can act.
Well, I guess there's some legitimacy that comes with it, right?
It's true.
Like, for example, the TV station approves of you being in this TV drama, and that makes you...
It
validates you for sure. But if you're an influencer, there's no validation. And I guess that's why a lot of these influencers, content creators, they feel the need to use YouTube or Instagram as a stepping stone to go onto something bigger.
Like
maybe being a movie star, actor, TV host.
Do a lot of them do that? I don't think so, right?
Well, it used to be like that. I think some still do it.
I feel it's more the other way around.
It's the other way around now, right?
Whereas,
like the actors and the TV people, radio, they're jumping on the Instagram and
they want to be
social
hip.
Media.
They feel like they need to.
Yeah.
That's how they earn money too as well.
Yeah, for sure. Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be like left in the dust.
Yeah,
you know?
Precisely. You can promote your own shows and everything.
Yeah, but there are a lot of different types of influencers. There are different tiers of influencers, right?
Yep. So I put it together here. I guess... I've read a few articles. I've heard of nano influencers, micro influencers, mid-tier influencers, macro influencers, and mega influencers. Now, I guess in Singapore context, we don't really have any mega influencers, right? Because that would be people like Kylie Jenner, Selena Gomez.
More than 10 million.
Yeah, A-list celebrities. And so I guess for us in Singapore here, it's micro, mid-tier, macro. People like you and I.
I think I would consider you both of you macros.
Macros?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's that, I mean, I don't mean to brag, but that, I mean, you don't go bigger than, how do you go bigger than that? I guess JJ Lin.
JJ
Lin. Jamie Chua, maybe? I don't know. Yeah. That she's still considered macro. Macro?
Right.
Macro.
Yeah, macro. Yeah. Today I found out I'm a mid tier, so yes.
That sounds not bad. Better than nano.
I think everyone in Singapore is a nano influencer. Yeah. Almost everyone.
Yeah. What is somebody like 30,000? 30,000.
A micro.
That's micro.
That's
micro,
my mother. Sure. My mother's micro.
Oh, your mother has 30,000?
I cannot remember something like that.
Wow, that's not bad. Yeah. So, I mean, who is the biggest influencer in Singapore, do you think?
I think JJ Lin.
JJ Lin.
Definitely, like, pure numbers wise. Yeah. He probably has the most on Instagram. I guess, like, you know, yourself, right, would be the biggest on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but who has the most influential power? You know,
I feel like you're baiting me to say me.
Do you think so?
I generally feel that the influencers in Singapore who tend to talk more about social issues, then these people tend to sway opinions a little bit more. Versus not what you're talking about there, where you sway people to buy products. Yeah. So I guess there aren't that many who sort of the main focus of their social media is to talk about opinions.
So yeah, you.
Yeah, oh, okay. I will accept it.
In most influential influencer. That is your title.
I don't know. I think most influencers are influential in their own way. That's my PC answer. Right?
I mean, just now you talked about being an influencer requires almost no talent, right? I mean, I disagree. I feel like it is a talent to post a nice photo of yourself with a product.
Yes.
And I think that's something that a lot of people overlook. I mean,
and make the product sound interesting.
Make the product sound interesting. Yeah. Make it sway opinions. Right. You know, share your own opinion, your own story about product or a brand.
But most people will feel that there's no barrier to entry because they would know a friend of theirs who is very influential in that way as well. Like, you know, that friend, whatever that friend buys, everyone buys. You know, so you think about that person and you think, well, my friend can do it well. You get what I mean? Versus if I see somebody doing like popping and locking, you know, as a professional dancer, I look at that and I say, I'm definitely nowhere as talented as this person, or I can never sing as well as like Adele, right? So there's an element of respect to the fact that if you're successful in that line, it means that you're better than anyone at that thing.
Yeah. So I guess that leads me to the question, what do you think about the influencer industry in Singapore?
Well, I think that over the years, we have improved a lot. That's the good part about it. I feel there's
certainly more of us now.
Yeah, definitely
more. More influencers in Singapore.
Because I came from the era, I started blogging 2003, right?
Wow. So 17 yeah, years freaking, ago. Wow.
It's a freaking teenager. My blog is a teenager. Oh my God.
I was P6. I was in P6, yes.
Wow, you were a small little boy just hitting puberty.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, growing your first armpit hair. Wow. There I was blogging.
Wow, I need to be attacked, but okay.
Yes, so...
Don't say it so soon, because soon people will start saying that about you.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Uncle Dan, when you first started YouTube, I was just a little boy. And now...
Well, who knows, you know, maybe one of them is watching this video now.
Yeah, so back to the professionalism part. Back in the day, I guess this was not so well defined as a job scope. People were not taking it so seriously as a job. So they were just doing this sort of like... part-time salary kind of thing. If it gives money, so it's that's good. If not, then so be it. So I remember this one time when I went to a client meeting, and this, I think it was Canon. It was a camera client. So it was quite a good deal because they gave us a brand new camera, and then they're paying us money to write a blog post about their camera to review it, right? So there were 9 female bloggers at that time invited to the meeting. not invited, okay, they were supposed to go to this meeting with the client. And I was late for about 20 minutes, okay, and I felt so bad about it already. I was just like, oh no, that's so unprofessional. I must be the latest there, right? But then when I went there, out of the nine, there were only two girls, me and one other girl.
So where were the other six?
I don't know. They were just lost somewhere. And the nothing manager was there, and she looked like she was about to have a freaking panic attack. Oh, no. And the client was just like, what on earth is with these girls? They were so unprofessional. They literally just did not turn up. And she called and called and called so many of them. Some of them were like literally just leaving the house. And then some of them were like, oh, I overslept, I'm not coming already.
What?
Yeah, they just don't even care. So wow. I feel like to them, it's a sideline. They don't think about it as a long-term thing where I care about my reputation, I need to be professional, you know? Like, they probably main job, gold digger, that's why.
So there's definitely stronger code of conduct and more professionalism to this
job
right now.
Today, I own Ruto Social as well. So we work with influencers, not only in front of the camera like I'm used to, but you know, behind the scenes as well, organizing for them and everything. So when I see them, you know, submit their work for campaigns and stuff, I can see that wow, it's like improved by so much. They're sending it on time, they're doing their best, you know. And I think a lot of people don't realize this, but for influencers, we are one whole package in a sense that when you hire us to do an ad, we don't need you to hire a makeup artist for us. We don't need you to hire wardrobe for us. We don't need to hire a hairstylist for us. We do everything ourselves. We film ourselves. We produce ourselves. We edit ourselves, right? So, I mean, if you hire...
if you go traditional media, you hire an actor, you engage an actor, you gotta get all of those things.
Correct. Even if it's only for Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still
have to. Yeah, it's something I realized, like, because we also run Titan, right? Yeah. So, man, I've hired some actors from agencies, right, for some projects. And because I'm usually not used to working with actors. We started off as an influencer marketing company as well. So all of us were just YouTubers, content creators. Yeah. I hired an actor and...
they're so useless.
I'm not saying useless, but in their own right, they are strong in their profession, which is acting.
So they focus on that.
So they asked for lunch, makeup artist...
hairstylist,
and I was like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, that's common practice, right? Yeah.
Wow. So I mean, even for us, we have evolved now. We need to hire makeup artists. In the past we didn't, you know, everyone just
do their own thing.
Now, okay, we get the makeup artist. Okay, we get the hairstylist and the prop designer.
But like, if you get a beauty influencer doing a beauty ad, she doesn't need a makeup artist sure, because she knows her thing already.
And it's so much cheaper.
It's actually
much cheaper.
It's a package.
Guys.
It's
much cheaper.
And now with COVID-19, right? Whenever you know, filming is happening, like every single actor and actress, they need to have their own makeup artist because you cannot share the makeup anymore.
Oh.
It's gonna be like really expensive. Because last time you can one makeup artist do everybody's makeup. Right. Now the makeup artist cannot share makeup.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. I think COVID-19 has changed the industry as well. Like over the past 2 months, we've seen a lot of influencers. They are the ones who have been able to create content, while the ones who can't do their own makeup eventually lose out. And it's quite sad to see articles like people not getting any income over the the past 2 months.
Very depressing.
It's a sad thing.
But okay, so. I want to know why do people hate influencers so much? What is it about influencer that everyone just dislikes? Is it because it's so easy? It seems like anybody can be an influencer.
I think it's like what we said just now, that like firstly we don't have a perceivable talent, so they don't think that we deserve the money that we get. Right.
And I guess that's why a lot of influencers feel the need to go onto a platform where it validates their existence.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah. And then secondly is the fact that it seems like you are talking big about yourself when you say influencer. I feel it, the element the of
narcissism,
unabashed, you know, what you call yourself influencer, you think you're big shot, you get what I mean? Whereas if I say I'm an accountant, it's a very matter of fact thing to say.
So what should an influencer call themselves?
I feel like I don't know, I think YouTuber just sounds so much better. But if your main platform is Instagram, there's really nothing. I guess key opinion leader, right?
That sounds worse.
Okay, it sounds worse.
Leader. What kind of leader? Key opinion leader.
I take it back.
Opinionated.
Okay. I think just tell people, I do social media. And full stop.
Even that, social media to slightly older traditional agencies, they'll be like, social media, what is that?
Well, it sounds like you could be managing campaigns, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough thing to explain. Definitely.
It is.
Yeah, especially to the older people.
Grab rights, especially when they ask you where you're going. Oh, I'm on the way to work. Oh, what do you do? Video. I'll just say video. Yeah.
Okay, like can video.
I just say I make videos.
Yeah. You just have to say you make videos. Because if you explain to them what you actually do, they'll just dive into like deeper. Right, like, what are you trying to do? Then you have to explain it to them. Then they'll be like, oh, you know, their own grandfather story.
Speaking of that, don't you think that we would have topped the non-essential list? The one that everyone's talking about, the artist one.
So
I'm just shocked like we are not there.
You know why? Because we're not even a real job. They don't even think of us as a real job.
It's even worse.
Yeah, it's even worse. We're not even on that list.
We're not even on the list.
But I guess it is a very small industry. It's a very small community of full-time influencers in Singapore. So maybe...
The community is so small that we know almost everyone in the community. That's how small it is. Yeah. Especially in Singapore compared to like if you were in the States, you know. You only know the people around your state, but you don't know most of them around. Or you probably do, but not like you do in Singapore where like if you go to ION or if you go to anywhere, you will bump into someone.
That's true.
I don't know. I always bump into someone.
I mean, Singapore itself alone is very small. Right?
Yeah, it is.
Are there any misconceptions of influencers?
Misconceptions? I would think that the fact that a lot of they think that it's a very easy job. I'm not going to defend that to certain influencers, it is quite easy to take a picture and post it up. It does sometimes, if you're very good looking, you don't even need to edit it, right? Yeah, but editing videos is like next level difficult. And like I think that to constantly come up with content, that I feel is something that is very stressful and you do need to put in quite a lot of hard work for it. And not everyone gets inspired all the time to come up with good content. Yeah, so especially YouTubers, I feel like I have a lot of respect for them because they're like, every Wednesday, new video. I'm just like, just thinking about the idea of that stresses me out so much. But you have to, because if you hire editors, producers and stuff, if you don't have a new video every week, they're doing nothing and you're hiring them for nothing. So no matter what, how tired you are, how uninspired you are, you have to come up with something.
Oh gosh, I feel like you understand. I feel like you understand me completely.
Yeah. It is a tough job.
It's been his life for the past 10 years, maybe.
Seven.
I've seen like, you know, some of my influencer friends, maybe they are not that hardworking. Like I myself am quite lazy. So I feel like I take things very slowly because I don't feel like I need a lot of money to survive. I just feel like if I have enough, I'm okay. I'm not like, I need to be a millionaire, you know. But I've seen like some other influencers around me, like Mong, for example. She's super hardworking. And the amount of effort that she puts into her content, I would say is no less than what a normal person really doing a full-time job puts in, like the hours that she puts in. So every morning, she wakes up at 7 to send her husband to work.
Okay.
Right? So for some influencers, I don't know about the two of you, but sometimes I sleep until 3 p.m. And like, she wakes up on the dot every day, 7, and she doesn't go back home to sleep.
Okay.
Right? Because husband doesn't want to park the car in CBD, so she has the car for the day. And then she will just go into WeWork or like wherever, do answer emails, shoot content, all the way until evening time where she will attend events and sometimes meet friends afterwards. Wow. And then after that, never haven't even finished, you know, she go home, she continue doing unboxing every single day.
Oh, that's so organized.
It is like, oh Jesus, that's so I cannot. Organized. Yeah, it's...
Every time we have a guest here, I feel like I hear an organized story and it stresses me out. Like in the past one, Ryan was like telling me that Sylvia planned for the next 5 years, including actions. I was like, missions? He's like, no, actions. I was like,
what does that even mean? How do you plan an action? Like, I'm going to take a shit in 5 years at 7 p.m.
I don't know.
All I know is that now I just feel tired just listening to that story.
Never mind.
She has successfully made it a 9-to-5 job.
Yes, it's not even 9, it's 7. Seven until 11 every day. What? It's like work the entire freaking day.
How?
Yeah, I mean, even when she's out relaxing with friends and stuff, she's still posting content, right? So technically, that's still work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you draw the line between what's work and not work,
right?
But
that is the crazy part of the spectrum. Of course, yeah. Then we have the other end, which is me. Yeah.
But then again, you know, they say that the influencer market in the future is going to be cost like, $15 billion?
Yeah, it is on track to be worth up to $15 billion by 2022.
That's a lot of money.
So whether you like it or not, influencers are here to stay, people. Mm. Yes. The influencer marketing is here to stay.
I just want to know, like, out of a comparison, like, let's say, like, PR industry, how many millions, like, you know? I just wonder, like, is it a lot? Or is it, like, travel will be a few billion, right, for example?
Right, not now.
But, like, yeah.
I guess tech.
Yeah.
I guess tech gaming takes a big chunk of that.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, speaking about... did you hear Joe Rogan's podcast got bought by Spotify for over $100 million?
Oh, my gosh.
$100 million. So he does podcasts like these on YouTube, right? Mm. But recently... he announced that he'll be on Spotify from December onwards, December. He would have moved to Spotify. And there has been sources that came.
$100 million.
Yeah. That is freaking a lot of money.
That he's done for life. He just needs to sit there and talk.
Sit there and talk is like the dream job.
Yes, I can talk forever. I can do that too.
Yeah. We actually got a deal from Spotify also, but I'm not going to say. But I think I actually told them that I want to be on YouTube.
Mm.
So that's the tough part for us.
Why don't we just take the money and run?
So we could have been Joe Rogan's of Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, let's aim
and
for
every guest can afford to give $100,000 if you have $100 million, right? Yeah, you can slowly give it up.
Yeah. We slowly start with Starbucks drinks.
Okay. That's all I got today. One Starbucks from a chino. Good enough.
Okay, back to influencer marketing. This is crazy. 93% of consumers consider user-generated content a helpful resource when making buying decisions.
Wow, that is really
93%.
High.
93%. That's very high.
That's
really
high percentage.
They must have been asking young people, because I don't think old people will agree with this.
Really?
Do old people even see Instagram? No, right?
Actually, how do you define old?
Yeah. Like old, like 70. Like
70. I'm sure 70.
I mean, yeah, 70s, yes.
They probably watch like Media.
Yeah, MediaCorp, yeah.
MediaCorp and buy an Osim chair or something.
Yeah.
But that's funny because you just bought an Osim chair.
I love my Osim chair.
No, but I mean, it's hard to disagree because every time I want to buy something, maybe above $500, I'll go search for a YouTube review.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Right.
Reasonable,
yeah.
Yes.
Like a camera.
Yeah. Sometimes even when I want to buy like a branded bag, I would even go and see somebody unbox it, to open it, like unzip it, and like so I can kind of see how it looks like and stuff. So.
Yeah. And well, millennials are more responsive to this. I mean, no question there. Mm. I mean, research shows that it's 20% more influential than other types of media. I mean, that's not no surprise.
Yeah, it's no surprise.
Because it's an element of trust there. Because it's how we consume done by stuff, somebody that you know. Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
And 87% of brands use influencer-generated content to share authentic content, and 72% believe that it helps them engage their audience. I mean, this article is from Forbes, and this is what brands think. So, I mean, clearly, influencer marketing, it's here to stay.
It's on the right track, man.
But recently, there has been this site called Influencer Glassdoor. You must be very familiar with this.
I am.
And it's essentially a Glassdoor, a website that enables former and current employees to anonymously review companies and review influencers. But mainly for Singaporean influencers.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
But Glassdoor itself is a famous thing, right? So I have never heard of it before this. So I was very question mark when I saw like Glassdoor. But now that I understand it, it seems like it was for employees to talk about employers, or is it the other way around as well? Because this one seems the influencer Glassdoor is just a one-way street.
It's definitely a one-way street.
It's definitely one-way street for Singapore. But I think if I'm not wrong, Glassdoor was more about employees, talking about employers, so that, you know, whether they can apply for the job.
Right.
But I feel that it can be used vice versa, either ways also. So to warn other companies, like maybe this employee done something that way. But in Singapore context, it's really one-sided glass door. It's like a, what's the thing called? It's a two-way mirror.
Yeah.
More like a two-way mirror. A one-way mirror, yeah.
How do you think this can benefit or harm influencers?
Well, I feel like it's very bullshit.
The whole thing is bullshit to you?
It is, because there is no evidence, nothing. Like, okay. And then this whole like pretend to astrict people's name thing when everyone can recognize who is. What is your point?
Right?
Yeah. That's the thing.
And I just feel like you can provide one of two things to give yourself some credence. Number one, you provide the identity of the person who said it, right? So at least that person has some kind of responsibility. If it's defamation, at least I can sue somebody, right? Or secondly, you provide evidence. So best if you can do both, but you have to do either one. And I feel like this whole defense that they have is that, it's up to your own discretion to believe whether or not to believe the things that are said there.
Right.
You know, and I feel like, then like that, can I go and post on a forum that you fuck dogs? Can I do that? And then I just say it's up to your discretion now whether you believe or not. Rubbish, right?
True. So there is no validation process there? Or is there a validation process?
Well, they claim that they are now asking for evidence after I posted about them. But in the past, I know for sure, just based on my friend's accounts, that many of the things that are submitted there are simply not true. It did not even happen.
Right. Because I do see some mixed reviews as well.
Yes. Yeah. So the good ones, like whatever, I think that people generally don't see the good reviews and believe them, because then the good reviews are also not very credible, because who knows whether the person submitted it themselves.
Exactly.
Right?
It can be anyone.
So, yeah, it can be anyone. So whereas the bad ones, I feel like clients will be like, okay, I have heard a few things. If she doesn't always submit her work on time or doesn't respond to emails, then I just won't hire her out of safety.
So you think this site will be potentially harmful to influencers?
I definitely think it is. In fact, my manager has told me that a client has actually said, I don't want to hire anyone on the website with any bad reviews.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Which is insane, because
That is insane.
Yeah, because just to err on the side of caution.
Right.
Even if it's just one bad review.
She did say a few, repeated ones. Damn. Yeah. So to say that it doesn't affect our work is not true. Okay. And I don't really, I'm not like contesting the fact that it is good to have a website to sort of give influencers reviews.
Because that's what people are saying. Like, why don't, if we can rate Grab drivers, why can't we rate influencers?
Sure, you can do that. But when I rate a Grab driver, I do it with my identity. I do it with evidence. You know for sure I did hire this Grab driver, right? It's computer locked and everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas this person can just be a random person. It can be my enemy, right?
Correct. So, so in fact, your competitor, if you do have one, can actually just write shit about you.
Correct.
Untrue shit about you.
So that is more of the thing that I feel very annoyed about, lah.
So how do you think influencers should deal with this? Is there a way to deal with this? Or
I really don't know. I think
are all of them just fucked?
I feel like it's very sad that you constantly have to keep proving a negative. You know, you get what I mean? It's very difficult for you to come out and say, this did not happen, right? Because how do you prove a negative?
I saw some of that. I saw some influencers coming out and say, this is not true. And
in
fact, we actually had one of our influencers dealing with some drama.
Oh, yes.
And she proven that it's all false accusations. Mm. But I feel like the fact that she had to go through this whole process, few days of just having this in your head, this drama, this negativity,
consulting
lawyers about something that is clearly false on the site.
Mm.
I think it's very detrimental to anybody in general. It doesn't have to be an influencer. It can be a driver. Correct.
They don't care.
An accountant.
They just feel like they are like these saints who are helping marketers, right? Filter through the terrible influencers with terrible work ethics. They think that they're doing good, you know, but it's been proven time and again that things that they've said are not true. Like, for example, over my friend Ina Go, right? Like, she got posted that she was at a flea. Okay, and there was a skincare product that she was selling at the flea, right? And there was somebody supposedly there who went there who wanted to buy that and said, hey, this is expired. And the person claimed that Ina's response was, expired doesn't matter. And she took the product and put it back on the table for somebody else to buy. And just off my mind, I can tell you that this definitely would not happen. Right. This is just simply not like Ina to do something like that. And when influencers, we do our fleas and everything, we sell everything freaking cheap. You think she cares about $5 over her reputation. It just does not make any sense. She's just not that kind of person. And it just like, and how do you prove that this did not happen? Mm. All you can say is it did not happen. And it's up to people to believe yes or no. You get what I mean? Yeah. That you cannot prove a negative. That's what I mean. Yeah.
That's true. What do you think, actually? I want to know.
Honestly, about. Right, I feel like...
What do you think of this whole influencer
class? In the long run, they're going in the right direction, but it's just bad execution. Because at the end of the day, as maybe from companies, right, you want to learn more about the influencers you're engaging, you know? Mm. So maybe this is a good way for you to like reference and stuff like that. Mm. So, but if you actually hear a bad review, right, you'll automatically be... It's like a black dot on a white cloth totally destroys it.
Mm.
Right, so one bad review would be the whole thing. But I still feel like it's going in the right direction. They just need more validation, more credibility, you know, more people to be held accountable for what they say.
Correct. How about then maybe another method that could work would be like how before you employ someone, you have a testimonial from their ex-employers. So next time when a client wants to know whether a influencer is good or not good, they could list some references. Like I've worked with, let's say, Samsung or Sony or whoever, right? Okay, so I can list the contacts of my ex-clients. You can call them to ask how the campaign went and everything. So at least there's some point of reference for companies.